You are switched over.
All right, so we go back. Section three, number one. This is a time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Kelly Collins, DBM, in case number 2120. This matter will be heard by the board pursuant to the authority given it under, given it in ARS 322234. Dr. Collins, please come forward and introduce yourself and your attorney if represented by counsel.
Kelly Collins.
And David Stoll, appearing as legal counsel for Dr. Collins.
Thank you. Dr. Collins, you received a letter informing you of matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, and placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials to submit, you would like to submit, please do so now.
The only additional materials we have just for demonstrative purposes are a copy of the ties, the subject ties, and we may refer to these during, in response to your questioning.
Those ties, that's all we have, is that one little band?
Yes.
Okay. So this proceeding is being officially recorded. As a result, it's important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and only one person speaks at a time. We'll begin by asking the lead board member to sign this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and you'll be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. The president will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them to remain. Ms. Solomon, would you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, just as a reminder to the board, this is related to the PALS presentation of and questioning of last month. This is, case is, relates to the cremation and confusion about between a Chihuahua named Lola and a cat named Benji, and the bodies being not what it was intended by the owner for an individual cremation for Lola, and Lola ended up being part of a, Lola was to be part of a witnessed individual cremation, and instead Lola was done as part of a communal cremation. When the owner showed up to view the cremation, it was Benji the cat, not Lola the dog. In order for that to happen, this is not a case of one zip tie breaking and falling off. It's a case of both were mislabeled. One was labeled, Lola was named labeled Benji, and Benji was labeled Lola. In Dr. Collins' 10-3-20 response, Dr. Collins accepted responsibility for the mislabeling. Then on 3-25-21, landed on the faulty zip ties. Board members may recall when PALS was here, a number of us tested the zip ties that they provided. It's my understanding that a CA was offered, and the status of that CA, Victoria?
She did not have signed.
It was not signed. Okay.
So, over here.
Pardon? Yeah. So be interested in hearing the reasons that the consent agreement was not signed.
Okay. Dr. Collins, this time I'd like to swear you in. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Before Dr. Collins responds...
I'm sorry.
Oh, I'm sorry, verbally say I do.
Yes.
Before Dr. Collins responds, I want to explain to you the process that's involved on my end, our end, in considering consent agreements that are offered. In general, consent agreements are welcomed in general. They're appreciated as they are often an effective and efficient way of resolving complaints. In the past, in situations where some findings of facts or legal conclusions have been in dispute, I've worked with you, legal counsel, on tweaking or negotiating the terms of the agreement until we arrive at a version we can all live with. In other cases, my clients are being asked to admit things that they know are untrue, and so consent agreements, like the one in this case, have to be declined. Lately, I've started to detect some resentment on the part of some of the board members about in situations where consent agreements have been rejected. I hope that's not the case here, as I will explain to you why we, Dr. Collins could not in good conscience accept the consent agreement that was offered. First and foremost, the consent agreement in this case included a factual admission in violation for quote-unquote not completing paperwork. Under the terms of the consent agreement, Dr. Collins would have been required to complete 4 hours of continuing education in the area of record keeping and paying a fine. The basis of this proposed violation was your mistaken belief that Dr. Collins failed to completely fill out the PALS online cremation form. Specifically, there was a perception that some things were missing because they were left blank. The truth of the matter is that she provided all the information that PALS requires, and the sections were left blank like they always are on that form. Fortunately, last month you heard from the principals of PALS, and during the informal interview, in response to Ms. Frost's questions, they told you that not only did Dr. Collins provide all the information on the cremation form that they needed, but they also told you that a veterinarian like Dr. Collins cannot submit an online information form unless the required information is provided. I think we're all familiar with those forms online that if you don't put in the essential required information, you can't submit the form. You get essential fields missing type error. And that's the same situation with the PALS online form. She filled out the form, the cremation form, with all the essential information, and it was accepted and processed. So as a result, she could not accept a consent agreement and admit that she failed to appropriately fill out the form when in fact she did fill it out correctly. I think anyone of you would have done the same thing as Dr. Collins and not accept a consent agreement where you're asked to admit things and accept a violation for something that you didn't do. The second reason that the consent agreement was not accepted is that we feel the investigative committee got things right when they recommended that this complaint be dismissed with no violation, despite the fact that the error in this case has been very emotional to the owner. The reason it should be dismissed, as Dr. Kelly will explain to you, is we don't know, Dr. Kelly doesn't know where or how this mix-up occurred. And without such evidence, you cannot find that Dr. Collins committed a violation. In sum, she did not violate any professionally acceptable procedure that could be used as a basis for a violation under R311-5011. In that regard, Dr. Collins will testify that she utilized the same procedures that she always used and used successfully thousands of times in cremations. And that it was others, namely PALS and the owner, who made changes to the cremation process and plans without her knowledge and allowed this unfortunate situation to occur. Do you have comments as well?
Yes. Can you hear me okay?
Alrighty. You can just speak more loudly.
Okay. I want to clear up the misperception that some of you might have thinking that I changed my story with regard to what happened in this case. I have not changed my story. I have apologized, empathized, refunded fees, reviewed procedures, and learned how the situation occurred. I have also made a few changes to assure, to the best of my ability, that this situation does not occur again. Unfortunately, to that end, I do have to rely on the crematory and owner to follow protocols to assure things go as planned. During my investigation, I learned multiple procedures were not followed and that I had previously put in place to prevent this type of occurrence. The truth of the matter is that I do not know, nor does anybody know, how the tags on these two pets got switched. The pets are moved from my vehicle to cold storage to the pals truck, from the truck to freezers, and then transported to the crematory facility. And I do not even know how much more movement occurs while in the truck or at pals. The tags could have fallen off, zip ties broken, tag containers failed as they frequently do in the freezer, and at any point during this process. More importantly to me, there are multiple procedures that I have in place to prevent this type of situation from occurring. Number one, I am to be notified by both the owner and pals, especially, of any changes. This is a standard protocol used by all crematories throughout the country that I have been talking with, and this did not occur. There were multiple emails, texts, phone calls, and discussions between the owner and pals, which changed services and dates, and none of which was I ever informed of, not a single time. Number two, individual cremations, which includes the witness, which is what Mr. Hamby changed his service to, are specifically performed prior to communals. And that's for a specific reason, and this was not followed by PALS. That process prevents the situation from occurring, and it just wasn't followed. Number three, the witness process and cremation was delayed, which is why the former occurred, by weeks due to construction at PALS and or the owner's requests. I'm not even sure which, because I've been left out of all those discussions the whole time. The pet was not viewed by PALS prior to presentation. I still have not heard any explanation as to how PALS presented a cat to the owner who is expecting a dog. I just don't understand. If just one of these things I'm talking about have been followed, which is the process that I have incorporated into the situation, would have been followed, this situation would never have occurred. Initially, I thought maybe I had put the wrong tag on Lola, and although that is unlikely that I did, it is possible. But if you look back into the initial board response, I said that at the start of paragraph 4, I do not know how the error occurred. That was my story then, and it's my story now. Nothing has changed. When I brought up the reoccurring problem I experienced with zip ties or other places along the way where the tags could have been separated from the bag, I was not changing my story. I was offering up information and possible explanation for how this could have happened after learning the facts of this case. I felt absolutely horrible when I was told what happened from the moment on, and I have been extremely sympathetic, apologetic, and professional with the owner. As I indicated in my response, as a practice owner, I took ownership of the error and took every step I could to sincerely apologize to Mr. Hamby and refund his fees. But in doing that, I was not admitting that I violated the Practice Act, nor did I intend to apologize for my apology to be used against me. I just wanted to let Mr. Hamby know how sorry I was for what occurred. I took ownership because I felt it was the right thing to do for my client. Again, nobody knows how this happened, but we do know multiple protocols that I have put in place to prevent the situation that are out of my control were not followed by others. I think it should also be noted that the owner was very pleased, as stated multiple times, with the actual procedure I performed at his home and how his pet passed. It was a very challenging case with a debilitated pet and a very distraught family. Regardless, Lola passed peacefully without distress, anxiety, or discomfort. I also feel it is important to know that I have made some adjustments to prevent this from occurring again. First, I have now purchased my own zip ties that are stronger so they don't break at the typical location. I regularly review with PALS the protocols that are to be followed, and I continue to attach a name on each pet to see before I see the next patient. Thank you, and I'm available for any questions anybody has.
Now I'd like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Collins.
Yes, Mr. Chairman. I'm interested in hearing the points that you enumerated very clearly and succinctly, how they relate to the labels.
So there's multiple things that are done in the procedure to make sure things happen the way they're supposed to, and those things just weren't followed.
How does that affect the label?
Well, it's part of the whole process to make sure things happen the way they're supposed to happen. So if something happens and it's mislabeled, or the tag falls off, or the zip tie breaks, or the plastic breaks, whatever happens, there's multiple steps in place to make sure that the service that the owner wants is done.
So you're saying you made sure that the right labels were on the right?
To the best of my knowledge, but I don't know how that portion happened. I don't know if it fell off in the truck. I don't know if it broke and the cat was 12 pounds and the chihuahua was 3 pounds. So the transporter person could have done it. It could have been my error. I don't honestly know. I wish I did. But regardless, that's why I have so many procedures in place so that what the owner wants is what happens. And none of those things were followed.
Okay. For the labels to have been switched due to breakage, it seems that both labels would have had, the zip ties would have had to break.
And I've had 12 in one day break.
Pardon?
I've had 12 break in one day.
In one day?
So that's very much in the realm of what was occurring. And that's why I went and bought my own zip ties. And when they get in the plastic stuff, when you put it in the freezer,
it becomes brittle.
Yeah, exactly. And so when you go to pick up a pet, and this is how I noticed they were breaking, is when I was trying to move pets so that I could put other pets in an order or fit them all in, that's where I was noticing you pick it up, that's where it cracks and it breaks. And there's two specific spots where they break, and these are an example of two that actually PALS brought to me and I specifically used to see what was gonna happen, and they did break. These aren't the ones I'm using on the pets anymore, but the most common place for them to break is right through here. That's where a lot of it happens. And then sometimes they just flat out break in half. And I think some of it's the pressure, especially when you pull up a bag and it puts pressure on it, it makes it snap. The other thing that happens frequently is these plastic containers, which is what we put the information in.
Yeah.
That's what the zip tie is used to hold onto the bag. And if this has been put in the freezer, it also becomes very brittle. This is an example of one from a couple of days ago that I had. And you go to open it and put the paper in it, and it just breaks. So it's very reasonable to think two would have happened in one day.
Mr. Chairman, to me those do not look like the same zip ties that PALS presented to us, and some of us individually tested. What is your observation?
So I will tell you, they have also upgraded their zip ties since the situation occurred.
And they said that.
Yeah. Which is good. That's what we want.
Would you mind passing that around?
Yeah, please. Sure. Thank you.
Let me try to break it.
Yeah.
Now, mind you, they're not frozen right now.
Right.
That's the whole crux of this, is it's when they're frozen that this happens.
So, want me to give it to the big guy first?
Yes, please.
No, she wants to tear it.
You think I'm stronger than you?
I don't think you're going to be able to do it here because I can't. It's when you're in the frozen.
It's when it's frozen. Okay.
Yeah.
So I had the opposite experience when we were talking to the crematory, is when that type of plastic is laid out in the sun, it becomes brittle.
PVC
pipe
does.
So, yeah. And so, yeah. I don't want to. considering the freezer effect.
Yeah, I found the other number.
So I guess.
But I'm not as strong as him.
How did you find a zip tie that would not snap in the end? Or are you using something else?
I use stronger gauged ones. And full disclosure, they still break, but it's maybe 1 in 50 times, not 1 in 5 or 1 in 2.
Yeah.
They were breaking very frequently, the ones I got from Pals. And I presented that issue with them multiple times, and they kept replacing them, but they would still break. So I finally just said, well, this is silly. I'll just buy my own of a higher gauge.
I guess my question is, if this is happening so often at your practice, shouldn't it be happening in every practice? I mean, Pals is a small company.
I think it is. I think it is, but that's why. So some of the other practices I've talked to, they say they had their problems, so they use tape instead.
I mean, so they're cremating the wrong animals all the time is basically what we're saying. I mean,
no.
I would think that if this was happening 12 times in a day at your practice, it'd be happening at every practice that Pals is using, so we should be getting complaints about this all the time, and that's not what we're getting. So I don't understand where I can mesh with that.
That was the most that happened in one day. It was not uncommon for it to happen once or twice, but if it only happens with one pet and you're watching what happens, you quickly replace them at that very moment. You don't let it break and then get another one and let it break and get another one and let it break.
What I'm saying is they're doing cremations multiple times a day every day, so shouldn't we be running into this kind of complaint often? If it's happening as often as you're telling us it is, this should be something that we see a pattern of, and we're not seeing a pattern of. This is my concern for the explanation.
My assumption is that you're,
I think there's a small percentage of viewed the cremations, so that could account for it. And maybe there's
a lot of general and privates. I mean, I have a massive amount of privates.
But maybe it's being caught, you know, at the crematorium where it wasn't in this situation.
And that's exactly what's happened at my place. I've caught all of them. This one, I don't know if I was the one who made the mistake, or the most likely place is where the guy was loading the stuff, and both of them broke, and he was like, well, this is a 3-pound and this is a 12-pound. Obviously this is a cat and this is a dog, the other way around. You don't think a cat's going to be 3 pounds.
And that would have been after the tag had been frozen.
Correct. All of that.
Have a lot of assumption.
Exactly.
That's what we're saying. We don't know.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I'm saying, but to follow your assumptions that you're making, we'd be having to see more of these cases, I would think, be it between the private cremations, the generals, the individuals, the viewed.
What others are telling me is they're replacing it as quickly as I am. If you pick it up and it breaks, you immediately fix it.
No, I know.
If
2 tags were to have broken at the same time, that if you had to replace those 2 tags, and you would just look at the bag and guess which one was which? I mean, you'd open the bag, it's undone, you'd look in, you'd go, okay, this tag goes on this, and you'd replace it. I don't see how 2 tags would break and somebody wouldn't look inside the bag to verify what tag they're putting back. But that just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't see how they presented a cat to an owner and it was a dog.
I also think that there's kind of this, we heard from Pals, we interviewed them, we talked to them at length about these zip ties. In recalling their situation, the only time they've seen these and been reported that these have broken is on large dogs that are heavy in weight that are causing the zip ties to break. A 3-pound dog and a 12-pound cat is not fitting that situation. So even if the zip ties do break occasionally, it's typically on bigger dogs. That's not what we're dealing with here. And I think, are we ever going to know exactly where it happened? No, but I think we have all done our due diligence to look into where this might have gone wrong, and we have to make our own determinations, just like any other case we do. You're never going to have a perfect case of exactly what happened. I think you have to go with what is apparently most likely, because we have interviewed multiple different people to try and figure this out, from the owner to the veterinarian to Pals to, I mean, and I agree, we don't see this. This doesn't happen, and I've used Pals for years. I've never had that happen. It just isn't something that I deal with. So I think we have to make our decision based on all the information that we have.
Well, Mr. Chairman, members of the board, with that said, if you have any more questions for Dr. Collins, perhaps we can, stay in the question-answer phase before we go into deliberations. And if we're done with questioning, perhaps we can give them, an opportunity to make a closing statement.
I'm still unclear again to take your specific statements that you gave of how that relates to the label being on wall. Are you assuming that both zip ties broke at approximately the same time?
That's when they typically would break, is when coming out of the freezer. And I've said, I don't know how it happened. I honest to God, don't know how it happened. I'm not saying that they did this. But a big part of what I'm saying is, as in any procedure we do medically, we don't rely on just one thing to go right. I have so many steps in place that would have prevented this situation from happening, which is Mr. Handy being presented a cat instead of a dog. There's four or five I just mentioned to you that should have been done so that we would know everything had done well. Just as prior to that, there's multiple steps I take to make sure the pet passes in a peaceful way. I don't just rely on one item and then say, well, whatever, and blow off the rest of the things. I do multiple things.
Let me be more specific. How would a change in the arrangements from communal to private affect the labeling?
So if it was being changed to witness, the pet would have been reviewed. I would have specifically asked for the pet to be reviewed. I would have specifically said, we're doing our normal procedures, right? Where we're gonna do the individuals prior to the communals. And they did not do that because the construction or the change of date, I wasn't privy to any of that stuff. So it would have been known at that point that it was the wrong pet.
So that would be an additional review done by you or your staff?
And PALS, all of us.
PALS does not open the bag for various health reasons, and they made that very clear to us.
They do when at the cremation, and they do when they present an animal to the owner.
I'm still unclear about how a change in arrangements could result in a mislead, because you said that was one of the contributing factors. I still don't see how that relates to the
because it would have been reviewed and the pet would have been seen and the mistake could have been
maybe I can help. The PALS would have done the individual viewed cremations before the group cremations, which is what their normal policy procedure is. They would have opened the bag, found the cat, and realized that they had the wrong animal, and they would have gone to and gotten the dog to show the owner.
But they still would have showed it to the owner in this case because they didn't know.
Right.
Well, they shouldn't be opening the bag in front of the owner. They're supposed to be, in my understanding,
they didn't know that they had, when they opened it and they saw a cat, they didn't realize they'd made a mistake and they brought him in.
Right, because it was labeled.
But didn't they know it wasn't a dog?
They should know what the owner's there to view, but that's outside the doctor.
So I guess that's what you're
getting around. Yes, yeah.
Because that's what I had. The changes to services and dates, is that a red herring? Yeah. Because...
Not to me, because this situation, we wouldn't be here if those things had all happened.
Yeah, we're assuming that they looked and they just told us that they never looked.
Right.
They never, ever looked at that.
They do when somebody comes for a witness cremation.
Well, yeah.
It's already too
late. But he was already there. It was already too late. It was already the wrong animal.
Now,
granted, they could have shown him as, oh my God, I'm sorry, that's the wrong animal. And if they hadn't done the communals, they could have gotten
exactly.
Oh my God, his animal.
Exactly.
Would have shot the hell out of him with the cat first.
Well, if they open it in front of them.
Right, but they're not supposed to open the bag in
front of
them.
Yeah, but he's the one that told them it was, that's not my dog.
I think all of
them.
Yeah, they only showed it to him.
And can I just
say the whole thing is
okay, so we're getting old.
Well, and also we need to make sure that only one person speaks at the time because we have the courtroom order.
Yeah, all you gotta do is yell at us. Don't show.
Yell at them.
Thank you.
This is Nikki Frost. I do have a question about this, and maybe I'm not looking at this properly, but one of the questions that I specifically had for PALS and concerned me from the beginning was there no species written on the tag? So how would Powell know that it was supposed to be a dog or a cat when that's not a required field? It wasn't filled out by the practice anyway.
It is on there. Hold on, let me get the paper. Well, it's on the portion I fill out, because I have to put, it's on the portion I fill out, it says dog, cat, or horse, so I don't know if they didn't print it out. I can't answer that one. I can tell you, on every form, I write dog, cat, or horse. And I know, because once I accidentally hit the button that said horse, and they called me and said, are you sure this was a horse? I'm like, no, it was not. I'm sorry, this. So,
yeah. Mistakes can happen.
But that's why we have multiple things in place so that the customer is getting what they have requested.
Mr. Chairman, I have another question if I may. Are there any specific changes you would be proposing to the consent agreement to find it agreeable? Or are you objecting to any consent agreement?
Not if it involved a violation of any kind. It's certainly not a record-keeping violation because she filled the form out appropriately. We also don't feel like she should be assessed a civil penalty when she's already made restitution. Before the board complaint was even filed, she made restitution, immediately returned the money to the client. So it's just an unfortunate error or mistake that was made somewhere in the chain of custody of these bags. And I don't think it rises to the level of a violation, and perhaps, you know, a letter of concern would be appropriate, but nothing beyond that. And the other thing that shouldn't be ignored is she's now taken steps to make sure that this doesn't happen again, or at least minimize the possibility of it happening again.
Can I hold it? This is Mickey Frost, and I will ask a question.
Sure. Yes, go ahead.
So, Dr. Collins, my question just is, there's a lot of issues with this size, and I'm guessing after this event, you know, from what I've seen, right, the zip ties, you replace yourself. However, if there's a clear issue with this having been a problem, addressing it, the crematorium not taking care of it, can I ask why you put your face and your patient's remains being handled by this crematorium? Because if it wasn't an error on your part, it was clearly an error on theirs and an ongoing issue. You know, is that something that you feel is in the best interest of your practice given the situation you're in?
I felt like everything else that I've been working with them for years, and everything else has gone very well, and it was a situation I was able to rectify by supplying my own. And I was able to rectify the situation. I guess I don't expect any person or any company to have everything be perfect. We just all continue to learn and improve, and I think they do a very good job on.
And how many cases have you?
Yeah, and I've done thousands and thousands without any issues. So usually the procedure in place works very, very well. Yeah, and if they had been under construction, if the owner had contacted me as he should have, if Pals had contacted me, the whole thing.
So I think that the complainant's issue in this situation, which I think is very valid, is that if he had not asked to witness the cremation, nobody would have ever known, and he would have gotten a cat's remains instead of his dog's. And that's the basis of his complaint, and I understand it. So the fact that this was caught is probably going to be more rare than it going unnoted, if I think is the concern, at least from what I read in the complaint, and I understand.
But it would have been caught. That's my whole point, is it would have been caught, because if we had gone through the procedure as I have it laid out, it would have been caught. And all those things were not done.
I would like to know how.
It would have been caught when they opened the bag and they saw that it wasn't the right PED. When he changed it to witness, I would have had everything reviewed to make sure everything was correct.
So when you say review, exactly what do you mean by review? If we're changing this from communal to witness, what specifically are they going to go through? What checklist are they going to go through and report back to you? This.
I understand. So the bag would have been brought to the crematory and it would have been labeled incorrectly and they would have seen that it was labeled incorrectly at that point, regardless of how it got labeled. So before it went into cremation, it would have been viewed. It would have been seen. This is not a dog, it's a cat, or vice versa, whatever. And that would have happened. The fact that he changed the services made his pet get pulled off to the side and then they did the communals first. So if that hadn't happened, they would have been doing it in the normal process. The individual would have been seen first. They would have said, this isn't the right pet for whatever reason, and they would have had the communal, the other pet, to go get and properly process. And so he would have had the ashes for his dog. But at this point, because of the construction, because of the change of services, we have to change.
I understand that part, but I just don't understand from what they've told us, and also, I mean, it's your position that they're going to open it up before and look at it before they show him, and they're going to know that it doesn't match. That when they opened it up and it didn't match, they had no idea, and they showed him. They had no idea that it was supposed to be a dog.
That's not my fault. I don't know.
I'm saying the way you're describing it, the review, is when it's a witness, okay, this review process happens and they look at it before it ever gets seen by the customer. And that did not happen, and that's not what they say happens. They say they don't open it for biosecurity reasons. They never open it until it's ready to cremate.
In front of the owner.
Because
that's not what I've been told. My understanding is they present the pet in a way that is acceptable for the owner to see it. That doesn't mean it's inside a bag. It means it's been taken out of the bag.
Yeah, it's taken out of the bag.
It's put in a situation so it doesn't look
outside the owner's.
Yes, prior to bringing it into the owner. Yeah. And then they bring it into the owner in a way that they can finish their grieving process. They don't, in front of them, open a bag and hand a frozen animal.
No, I understand that, but in this case, they did go through the bag opening, the presentation.
And that's one of the errors.
And they didn't know they made an error.
Right.
They had no
and
idea.
And they should have.
The owner told them they made an error.
And that's one of the, that's my big problem. How did they not know? They should have known that this guy was here to see his Chihuahua dog.
Because we're kind of getting, I have a lot to discuss, but I want to move on to questions just so we can discuss it, because I think we're getting into things that, could they have happened differently? Yes, but that wouldn't have changed how you labeled the dog.
Yeah.
Okay.
It would have prevented the problem from occurring.
It might have prevented the problem, but it didn't change the mistake of mislabeling the dog.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. Dr. Collins, how many pals, individual and communal cremations have you personally witnessed?
Witnessed?
Yes.
Not witnessed one.
Thank you.
No, they tell me how the process goes. And I rely on them for what they tell me.
All right. So if there's no more questions for Dr. Collins, we're going to hear from the complaint now. You can step back, please.
Do you want to call?
Do you have a complaint here? Will you please come forward and introduce yourself?
Hi, my name is Jacob Hamby.
Thank you.
Bolo's owner.
I need to swear you in now. Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
Thank you. And you are the complainant in this case, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
We have read the materials you provided, and you may address the board.
So, just want to make one statement before I read my letter. I find it kind of disheartening and despicable that a lot of this has been put on me for changing it from a single communal cremation to a single witness cremation. I don't think the difference of it being a single to single witness made any difference. If it was a single communal, she still would have been taken out. Lola the dog still would have been taken out. It was changed to a single witness. I don't think that had any effect on anything. And how was I to know that I was supposed to contact the vet who I hired to euthanize my animal? That's not written in their, on their website. That's not in any literature that I've seen. How was I supposed to know I'm supposed to contact her so she can go to PALS to ensure that my correct pet is ready for me? That's my big confusion here. So, my letter, I've read a couple before. Once again, my name is Jacob Hamby, lucky owner of Lola from 8 weeks old to her death at age 16 years, 8 months. I've been to all these hearings about Lola except the most recent one when it included PALS, because once again, I was away for the Navy working out of state, to which I just returned. I sent in all my documentation for this case from the text messages between Dr. Collins and myself, emails to PALS that was very specific in the subject line, Lola Hamby, tan female chihuahua. I sent this all to Ms. Whitmore Monday, which I know was after the Friday, July 16th deadline because I was out of state. So if you didn't get a chance to review it, I accept that. I did find comfort, somewhat closure in the last hearing where the board handed Dr. Collins her consequence for mishandling of my deceased dog, but no closure for PALS mishandling and dismissal of their part in all this, as their story was wrong. However, all I wanted was Dr. Collins to have a recourse for her actions and inactions regarding her improper labeling and documentation of my dog Lola, who she tagged as Benji the Cat. To recognize that it doesn't matter what kind of record someone has, how caring they've always been, that this was the first time I ever did something like this. But when the best people mess up or cut corners or backtrack or change a story and cause pain and suffering to people, that has to be accounted for. One of the statements I heard was, at one point she was grasping at straws and changed her story. Something has to be done to make sure this type of situation never happens again. I felt the board handed down a consequent that wasn't harsh, but made a point that this type of behavior has no place and will not be tolerated within the veterinarian community. In my first letter, I made a statement that said, we're all professionals in healthcare whose goal is to care for the sick and injured and do the best we can to comfort families in time of need, but we have to do our best for others. All I wanted was hard protocols that vets have to follow so our companions and family members aren't forever taken from us due to lack of this very basic standard of care, which is documentation. I will never understand why PALS doesn't list the species of animal next to the animal's name in the computer. What do they do when they have two animals with the same name? We're coming up on a year since Lola's death of August 8th, but I still remember every single aspect of that day, and especially the day we showed up at PALS and went into the viewing room and Benji the Cat was laying around the viewing table. This memory will always be seared into my brain, and I'll never forget how it all played out. PALS protocol said they don't open a bag and look at the animal unless there's a 20-pound difference. How ridiculous can this be? Both these animals didn't even weigh 20 pounds together, but there was a 10-pound difference. And if someone can't tell the difference from 3.5 pounds to over 13 pounds, then in my opinion, they just don't care. There were also 8 instances that this mistake could have been caught. And just to set the story straight regarding PALS statement questions the board asked them last month, you guys were told the wrong animal was discovered as they opened a bag in front of us. They didn't even discover the wrong animal. It was only after we went into the viewing room to say our final goodbye to Lola. Daniel told us as we first walked in the building that Lola was ready on the viewing table and ready for us to say bye to her. My wife, 2 kids, and I walked in the viewing room and we all seen Benji's cat laying there on the viewing table, nice and wrapped up in a blanket and staged for us. My wife had to walk out, because obviously I was losing my emotions as my kids tried to console me to get Daniel to tell him there's a cat room, not our dog bullet. He then came in, wheeled Benji out. My kids asked me repeatedly, as they're 5 and 7, why was there a cat in there? Where's Lola? To me, they are liars and just trying to get out of the lackadaisical approach to this he said, she said debacle. I'm sitting here today because Dr. Collins apparently feels she isn't in the wrong and her consequence is unjust. But she wasn't here the last 2 times to face the board, and that statement was also used by a board member. Where is she to defend herself? Where is the integrity of owning up to a mistake? Maybe she should open up her own investigation in PALS if she feels she did everything right and all this heartache and pain is a result of PALS. I just want closure to know that I did everything I legally could for not being able to bring my best friend home. I've been a nurse for 16 years, and as a healthcare professional, I personally know how hard it is to try and remember an aspect of a patient, a procedure, a surgery, a treatment, a negative outcome, a specific story that pertains to a situation that happened months ago, because I can see and take care of up to 100 patients a month. How many does a vet see? How many does a crematory see? This is exactly why proper documentation is 100% necessary, because if it wasn't documented, it wasn't done. I was told this very line my first year of nursing school 18 years ago, and I still follow the standard of care. Because if I ever get deposed for a case that happened years ago, how can I remember what I did for a patient if my documentation wasn't done accurately and by my hospital's protocol? How can a veterinarian or a manager of a crematory remember aspects of one case after seeing hundreds of animals afterwards and have no proper documentation to fall back on to cover their actions? This is when their stories fall apart, blame shifting begins, lies or stretches of the truth happen, and personal integrity is lost because at that point they have no leg to stand on. This is what's happening right now. For the person and family these negative situations happen to, oftentimes the very specific events are remembered in great detail. I remember everything in great detail of this whole situation, and I truly find it disgusting that my family, my deceased dog, and myself are being put through this when everything is so clear-cut. I feel Dr. Collins and Pallas had equal parts of my dog Lola's mishandling, and feel they should both be equally handed down in consequence. And I feel that hard documentation protocols are mandated to be followed, or fines to be handed out. And this will most likely do away with this unreasonable protocol of not double-checking an animal unless there's a 20-pound weight difference. Because I don't think an average person can tell 20-pound difference from 110 pounds to 130 pounds. That person can't tell the difference. The person that can't tell the difference has to be fit enough to lift this weight. And once again, what about the 2 animals that don't even weigh 20 pounds together? If the proper documentation occurs, and there's a weight listed with the species amongst all other boxes on the required form, then this shouldn't even be an issue. And lastly, this whole situation would have 100% been caught as soon as I talked to someone at PALS. If they just listed the species of the animal next to their name, I will never understand this, such a simple verification method that should be mandated. Thank you for your time and for listening.
Thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complainant? Anybody on the phone? Thank you very much for coming here. Dr. Collins, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you'd like to ask?
I have a few additional remarks. First, we're not blaming you at all. You're completely innocent in all this.
Yeah.
Just so you know, we're not blaming you. We're not blaming the complainant at all. What we're saying is because he changed the type of cremation that he wanted, which he had every right to do, to a witness cremation, there were certain procedures that should have been followed that weren't, that would have caught this mistake. And those are PALS, not Dr. Collins. So we're not saying he's to blame, we're just saying because of the decision he made, it created a situation that allowed this to happen, mostly because PALS did not follow their proper procedures. Also, the Mr. Hamby said something about Dr. Collins trying to cut corners. I think you've heard evidence today to the contrary. She's not trying to cut corners, she's trying to, at her own expense, she's buying materials that were to be supplied by PALS that weren't working. So she's incurring additional expense to minimize the chances of this happening. And also, just so that you know and so we're clear, she started buying she brought up this problem and took these steps before this incident happened. This has been an ongoing problem, and she was notifying PALS, telling them what they needed to do. They would give her different ones, and those weren't working, and then ultimately she came out of pocket for her own. I think you guys have done a very good job investigating this matter. It's certainly been thorough, but at the end of the day, what you have to do legally is see if there is a specific statute or statute or regulation that Dr. Collins violated, and I don't believe that there's evidence to support that she did. Therefore, we ask that this be dismissed with no violation, or at most, you issue a letter of concern. I think Dr. Collins, she showed me on her phone the form that she uses to provide information to PALS, and you can explain it better than I can, but you do provide them the species of the pet and the dog, the breed, that information, but they don't print that out on their end when they do these witness cremations. Is that
correct? I mean, I can show you the form I fill out, and on every single one of them, I fill out the dog, the sex, the color, and the type of dog it is. So that is on every form. So it, just so you know, that is on every form that I fill out. If they don't print it out on that form that they give to you guys, that I...
Or when they do a...
Or when they...
Witness.
Yeah, that's their form. That's outside of my purview. I give them that information. And they have that on every single pet of mine. Always have.
Thank you.
Are there any more questions from board members? So I had one. You said PALS did not follow the procedures and protocols that you gave them for your customers. Are those written?
Those are the protocols that they use in the place. That's for everybody. It's not anything specific to me. Those are all the protocols for everybody. That's how they operate. So I guess the answer is no, I did not ask them to put that in a different letter to me that we discussed this multiple times. I guess I could do that, but it's how they operate for everybody.
Okay, described the operations and where it went wrong, these protocols that did not get followed, it sounded like, okay, this is how they're supposed to do it when they're taking care of my client's pets that I supplied to this crematory. I mean, that's the way you were talking, that's where it kind of came across. So
I'm sorry, that's how they presented they do things at their practice. And I have reconfirmed that with them multiple times to make sure things are being done that way. That I didn't misunderstand something.
If you've talked about it with them, do they have it written down that you've seen in print?
I don't know. I would have to go back and look at paperwork from them and stuff. I'm sorry, I don't know that answer. I can tell you they do have that information about the dog, the gender, the color. They have that everywhere.
Any other board members have questions? Seeing none, we step back. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter.
Solely, you were the lead.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I'd like to ask counsel what our options are. Can we reissue the existing CA, extend the time for signing, and then if not, have ramifications, or what are our options?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, you certainly can reoffer the CA, although I'm not sure that that will be a useful exercise, since you've heard that they would not be inclined to sign it as. You can modify the consent agreement. Putting aside the consent agreement, we are in a formal interview, so you have your full bundle of options available to you at this juncture. The first thing, though, that you have to decide is whether or not Dr. Collins engaged in unprofessional conduct, and if so, what act of unprofessional conduct that was.
Mr. Chairman, I still, and you made a similar comment, how a change in whether it was individual or communal would have affected the labeling and the switch of the labeling of the two animals. So I still feel that the mislabeling is the key. There were so many coincidences that would have had to happen to, you know, both zip ties breaking at approximate, you know, in somewhat proximity to each other time-wise, and then being put back on the wrong animals. There are just too many small possibilities, I think, when it relates to that. To me, it's still, I can see no relationship between the change in the arrangements and the mislabeling. And I do think that if this had been a problem with PAL's procedures, we would have heard about it sooner. There would be more frequent complaints, and we would have definitely been aware of it. So I am, at this point, I think the violation still occurred. I would move to, if you want a motion at this time or just deliberations, Mr. Chairman.
Well, and go around the table. Okay. We can do, we can only have discussion on the motion.
Yeah.
Or you go around the table and then you may not make that motion. So, how confident are you?
How confident?
That you can win us over.
Well, I didn't realize it, but there was opposition. No, I would propose that we reoffer the consent agreement and offer another 30 days for consideration to sign. Again, we were offered no specific, other than the objection to the, and basically the entire consent agreement, because I asked for suggested changes and we received none. So I think a consent agreement is, I think there still has been a violation. I don't feel a letter of concern would be sufficient. I think it's, there are a number of questions that come up when a professional puts in writing, I accept responsibility, and 6 months later changes their statement, in essence, or retracts it retroactively. So I have a number of concerns about this that I think rise to the violation cited, and would move that we reissue the consent agreement, give them 30 days to reconsider signing, and if not, remand to the film.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, Ms. Solomon, typically at this stage, an informal, an order would be issued. The time to, even though you can issue a consent agreement, the time to do that is already really passed. Because now the board has the authority to just issue an order. If she wants to appeal that, then there's appeal rights for that.
Okay.
But if you want to do something, to take action, it should be order problem at this point.
And just to build upon that, you can certainly reoffer the consent agreement, and if not signed, issue the order that is, you know, turn the consent agreement into a board order.
Okay.
Sorry. And I agree. I mean, this is not a criminal proceeding. This is a whole different evidentiary rules that is going on here, and just the explanations I got was not meshing with that. And this is a preponderance of evidence, like, and this is what story is going to make the most sense. And there's the explanation is given today are just too wishy-washy for me. So I agree that this is not changing all of that. I still agree with this.
I think that the facts or the pieces that were brought up that PALS could have done differently to prevent this situation from happening are valid. But it wouldn't have changed the mistake that I believe was made at the point of labeling these animals. So yes, I understand the frustration on behalf of the veterinarian with PALS, because maybe that would have caught the mistake and she wouldn't have been here. But it's not their job to do that. And
I definitely see where there's concern and house could do things better, absolutely. But I don't feel like that changes what happened at the time that these pets in my mind were missing. And I don't believe the pets broke at the same time and then were inappropriately put back on the dog. And never documented that the tags were found broken. There was no, the person from Powell's that picked it up never said, oh, I found tags broken and I did this. Like, there's nothing like that. No one ever found broken tags, no one ever saw broken tags, missing tags, nothing. So I just go, I guess that's my issue with it. Now, in looking at the consent agreement, there is the medical record keeping piece. And what I did hear today is that on her end, the form was filled out. Do we know that that just didn't transfer over to house? I can't say for sure. They allowed her to submit the online form, so she clearly had put the information in. I don't know if that's a medical record keeping violation or if this is a violation of you weren't careful in the labeling of their pet. It's an inappropriate procedure or inappropriate action, but is it medical records? That I can't say.
Yeah, and I agree. And I'm comfortable with the statutes and rules reference. I mean, the not completing the paperwork, I can see that's fine. There's still a mix up. That's the process. And that's where the professionally acceptable procedures comes in. So yeah, I mean, I'd be fine removing the not completing the paperwork because I agree that if it was submitted, it was complete. And there's always additional information that can be submitted, but if it was accepted, then it was complete in their eyes. So taking that out is fine, but there's still a mix up that. Yeah, in my mind, I don't see your explanation.
And members of the board, just as a reminder, the violation was in reference to 5011. It wasn't necessarily like a medical, your traditional medical records violation. The medical records come into play as that was under the order where they were for the continuing education. You found specifically that failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures by misleading the pets means mixing up the pet tags and not completing the paperwork. So maybe that's what you were referring to.
Well, maybe taking out not completing the paperwork. It sounds like the paperwork was completed, and I do understand what she's saying there, and that she filled it out. She can't control what happened at PALS. But the professionally acceptable procedures of ensuring the right pet is in the right bag and labeled appropriately still falls back on her as the clinic owner. That's how I see it. And maybe when we look at that, it changes. You know, we did medical record keeping. Does that really get at what the issue is? I don't know that it does as far as a reprimand, because I don't see necessarily where her medical record keeping failed, except for the fact that she made a mistake and she put the wrong pet in the wrong bag and labeled it. I don't know a course that's going to correct that, I guess I would say. I think that this is a situation where a mistake was made.
But I think medical record keeping is probably the closest thing. I mean, there's not going to be a euthanasia bag.
I don't know a course that will do it.
So medical record keeping in general is probably the only thing that's going to apply in that regard.
Well, or does it CE really even apply in this matter? I mean, it could.
No CE and just a fine or penalty.
Well, you do have the option of just issuing a decree of censure. That is it's kind of the first item in your list of disciplinary options available to you. There's no ongoing monitoring or requirements, but it is memorialization that you found a violation and that she engaged in unprofessional conduct.
And that can just be, is that by board order?
Yes, it's a standalone disciplinary action.
Still applies to ARS 32, 22, 32, 12. So that's all the same.
Yeah, miscellaneous.
It's just instead of CE and a fine, it's a degree of censure.
Right. You can still issue the fine, that's not mutually exclusive. But that would be up to you to determine whether or not you think that's appropriate. But so it can be on its, it can stand on its own or in conjunction with something else.
The restitution was already made.
Yes, she is.
And I think that she handled it, it sounds like, to the best of her ability with the owner. I'm concerned now that there's this completely negating everybody else and why this happened. But I think the interactions between she and the owner and what she did to try and rectify it has been solid and what we would expect. I mean, as far as reviewing protocols, changing zip ties, doing all these things. I mean, if zip ties were breaking 12 a day or, you know, 5 a day, I would put tape on that bag in addition to the zip tie. Look, it just would, you know, so I mean, I'm just, we don't need to really.
Mr. Chairman.
So, hang on, let me get my, few cents in here. And I'm hoping our two colleagues on the phone are going to be siding with me so I'm not all alone out on the branch. This all changes for me, the question and answers. And yes, I agree that the changes to the services and the dates, I don't, yeah, the protocols weren't called and the communal, if the communals would have happened after the singles, yes, there was a chance for correction, but there wasn't a chance to not make the mistake. The mistake was made. There was a chance to correct the mistake. But the way Towns is doing things, they would have showed and shocked the client anyway. That's just the way they do it. They had no idea the difference between the dog and the cat, the weight, nothing. They had no idea, no clue, no nothing.
And should they have? That's a
absolutely,
but that's not what
absolutely
we're here talking
they
about.
Should.
That's not.
If there's a biosecurity reason for not opening that bag, you know what you do?
Weigh.
Use clear plastic.
Weigh.
Use clear. Yeah, you weigh it. You use clear plastic. That's what. Use freezer proof ID. Something. I mean, this is ongoing, and just because we haven't seen it before doesn't mean it's not happening. You know, I mean, how many, I don't go to see, I've had several animals that are of our pets cremated since I've been married. I've never did before, but I don't go watch any of them. But we got the little urn back or the little cedar back, and there's a couple trees up at Grandma's house where a bunch of pets are around that tree. I never saw any. I mean, never went to see them. I have no idea. Those could be any kind of ashes. I don't know whether they're private, communal, they just scooped them out of their fireplace. I don't know. I mean, it didn't bother me to know. But this client wants to know that those are the ashes of his dog, and he didn't get that. So, I mean, I don't know that you could appropriately assign blame because, you know, I think sometimes you can communicate too much, right? The suppositions, because when you first, oh, I must have screwed that up and then come up with something. If you don't know what happened, it's okay to say, I don't know. You just follow it up with, I'll find out. That's perfectly acceptable. If you say, I don't know, but maybe this, and maybe this, and maybe this, then you lose trust and confidence. And I think that definitely happened here, both with the client and with board members too. Listening to the recording, seeing some of the other testimony before when we didn't have her here to answer questions, I was skeptical. House people put on a good show, but was it all just a show? I don't know. You don't know. I mean, they definitely had problems with their procedures as well. This looks like pretty simple, a 3 pounds versus 12 pounds, or 13 pounds, whatever it was. And as the complainant pointed out today, the two of them together didn't weigh 20 pounds. So why would you use that as a baseline for, okay, this is when I'll decide to measure something.
Well, I think it's just an opportunity, but that's not what this case is about. This case is about Dr. Collins, not PAPS.
Right.
So owls might have opportunity. That's not what we're here to discuss. Right?
Right, council's already.
Okay, so I'm just saying that you can't break, yes, that is decided with Nevin. Maybe we made a mistake, maybe we didn't, I don't know. I also don't know on this one. I don't know. I don't think there's any clear cut, I know it's not this violation. Is there a letter of concern?
Yeah.
That maybe you should go to another crematorium, or maybe you should report that crematorium. And I'd use this as a wake-up call for us. We're doing a rules package, it's on the agenda today. Maybe for crematories, it ought to be mandated that you use a freezer-proof ID. I don't know what that is.
Well, that's the thing, there's a lot of I don't knows that are being thrown out, that we're trying to dismiss a case based on I don't knows.
Right.
And that's what it sounds like.
Well, yeah, but the other side trying to convict on the cases that we don't know.
But there's a lot of we know what happened.
If you don't know.
We don't know the process of what happened, we know the end result of what happened.
Yeah.
We know there had to have been breakdowns here, and I'm just not getting a good explanation of those breakdowns.
And quite honestly, I can't see how this happened any other way. I personally believe that from all the testimony and what we know, these cuts were mislabeled. I don't think it was intentional, I think it was a mistake. Has it happened at other practices? I'm sure it has. I believe that happened, and I believe.
So you don't believe that zip ties break in the freezer? That's unbelievable.
Frequency that, no.
I think if it did break at that frequency, you should come up with a different method or have towels immediately corrected, because that's not something that should have been acceptable. But to have two zip ties break at the same time, for the pets to have been not looked at the time that they got the tag fell off and got mislabeled wrong, doesn't seem realistic to me. And the fact that there was no report by her staff, by the crematory staff, that tags were ever missing. They never reported that these tags broke and fell off and were replaced.
That's not surprising.
And it's not something I've heard.
Why would that be reported?
Just in general. I mean, this is something that veterinarians talk about all the time. And if I was hearing that a crematory company was having breaking of tags and things falling apart, that would be in the veterinary community all over. This company would not exist. And it's one of the biggest companies out there. There may be a lot of issues with the tags at this hospital breaking. Is that PAL's issue or is that the hospital's issue? Are they doing something incorrectly there? That still comes back to where is the mistake going to be made?
Well,
Break in one freezer but not the other freezer?
Well, how do you know it's the freezer? What if it's the fact that these tags sit in her vehicle and they're out in the heat all the time and that causes them to break down, and then when they're put in the freezer, it breaks? Maybe it's something specific to her practice.
I don't care. But it could literally be everybody in Arizona because they're all doing the same thing.
My dogs sit out in the heat. They sit outside of practice in the air conditioning.
But that's the thing.
That's what I'm saying.
They never take them in your car.
No. Why would I have
them? Yeah, but
The crux of it is, if these explanations were going to explain this issue, we'd be seeing this issue a lot.
Mm-hmm.
We're not seeing it. This is not something I've heard about this happening in hospitals.
I think we're just going to have to.
All right, so the motion on the floor is what again?
I'm going to withdraw that motion and make a motion for a decree of censure.
Okay, can I ask that, and perhaps this is a good document to review with the consent agreement, are you adopting the findings of fact that set forth in the consent agreement?
The findings in fact and conclusions of law, yes.
Okay, and then and perhaps Dr. James, you can help us here with respect to the conclusions of the law. It currently reads a violation of 501(1) for failure to provide professional acceptable procedures by mislabeling the pet's remains / mixing up the tags and not completing the paperwork. Did we want to make any modifications to that explanation of the violation?
I would make the recommendation we take off and not complete the paperwork. So right. We say for failure to provide professionally acceptable procedures by mislabeling the pet's remains / mixing up the tags, period.
So amended.
Okay, and I'm not sure if there's a second.
And now we have a second. To find the findings of fact Is our findings of fact and conclusions of law?
Yes, as amended, finding and conclusions of law as amended.
As amended.
Yes.
Any further discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Hi.
Go ahead, Nikki.
No, I just, I think that, again, you guys have already talked about this, but in the end, my understanding is that the whole thing was that the service was paid for, and Powell's was the third-party provider in the end. It's Powell's wasn't paid directly for the initial service that was requested, so it's kind of, you have to back up your third-party vendor in this case. And it's a really, just a terrible situation for everybody, so I just thought, you know, that's just one of the thoughts I had of this.
Any other discussion? Roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Louie?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright is an aye, the motion carries.
And then we could consider another motion for the actual order that is approved.
The action, okay, I have not done one of those before, so is there any...
The decree of censure.
It would be the decree of censure.
The decree of censure is the...
Yes. Mr. Chairman, I move we issue order a decree of censure on Dr. Collins for, based on the findings of fact and conclusions of law as amended.
And
second.
We have a second. Any further discussion? I'll just add it. I want to do something, I'm just not sure this is the right thing to do. No, we'll get that out. Anybody else have any discussion? Let's do a roll call.
Ms. Krieger?
Aye.
Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Mr. Louie?
Nay.
Ms. Solomon?
Aye.
And Dr. Wright is an aye, the motion carries.
The board has voted to issue a decree of censure at next month's meeting. The board will consider... The board will do that, but we've already done that.
Yeah, it's just done.
It's already done.
It's already done it.
If you have any questions, please call the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board's office. This concludes the informal interview. Thank you, everybody, for participating today.